Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and once you lose your heart, it's all about the castle on a cloud. When she loved me, I went to Never Never Land, but when that day is done, I'm over the rainbow. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered, how I wish you love my romance, because I'm just a beautiful dreamer. Joining us today are the usual rainy days and Mondays, including Kevin, how insensitive, Jaeger.
Oh, how rude.
Kimberly, are they can't take that away from me, game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
And with us today is someone you may have seen in Les Mis, Saturday Night Fever, Hairspray, Martin Short, Bane Becomes Him, and Wicked. Let's give a big Broadway-sid welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Donna Vavina. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us in our season premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Are we in season four?
Yeah.
Yes, it's
season four of Broad Wasted. Season one was 6 years. Season two, a couple of months. Season three, short because
weeks.
I got married. Yeah. And season four, who knows? But welcome.
I feel like season three was one of those like partial seasons before a writer's strike. But
yes.
The writer's strike was that Brian got married.
Is this season three, part two? Season three, part two, maybe? Like they split up TV shows now?
Yeah. We just had like a midwinter break.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
Donna, we are so excited that you are joining us. But before we start with anything, what are you drinking?
I know, I'm so boring. Well, I have coffee. Because after I do this, I'm actually teaching some 8-year-olds who are in San Diego on Zoom. They're like preparing for the a concert they're doing, a duet. And so I can't get Broadwasted and then try to teach them how to sing For Good from Wicked, can I?
I mean, I'd like to point out you could.
I could.
Yes.
But maybe not.
I could put a little Zambuca in this. And,
sure.
And make it like an interesting coffee.
Yeah.
Like, Don, you're really fun today.
And on the flip side of things, like you're dealing with us, so we're prepping you to work with 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
Right. This is great. This is
yeah, perfect.
Getting you on their level.
For sure. Kevin, what are you drinking?
I actually was feeling like how it kind of cooled off a bit, but it's like the end of summer. So I made a pitcher of margaritas.
Ooh.
And I have it in the fridge and it's like so like chill and crisp and it's delicious.
That's amazing.
Yes. Okay.
Kimberly.
Oh, and it's with George Clooney tequila. I just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you, George.
What is that? Is it good?
It's really, really good.
I love how it's not Casamigos. It's George Clooney tequila.
And yes. I do like tequila, so I'll have to try.
Yeah, it's good. Great. We drank a full bottle of it in Chicago with Colin.
Yeah, Colin Donnell.
Oh.
That was literally a full introduction to it.
I drank in February when I was in Mexico. I drank an entire bottle of mezcal. Like,
yes,
so good and amazing. Honestly, tequila doesn't. You get drunk, but you don't get tired. It's like incredible.
Yeah.
Like the one upper alcohol.
It's a stimulant.
Yeah.
We literally drank all that Casamigos and then we went with Colin to a barbecue spot and had barbecue. Like it was incredible.
Oh man. And then we had our live show that night, which none of us remember.
Yeah. We literally did a live show in Chicago that we did not know what happened.
Oh yeah. They lost the recording. That's like a,
no one will ever know.
That's a loss to time one.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
It was sad, but also we didn't know what we said.
Yeah, but Orson is holding on to it and ready to like blackmail you someday.
Well, yeah, what if they didn't lose it and they're just like, one day they'll be famous and the world will know.
Absolutely.
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
Courtesy of Brian's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drinking gin. A little Bloom London Dry Gin. Brian does not drink gin and had some leftover from his wedding and sent me home with some.
Yeah, yes, I did.
It's my husband.
Hello,
Jay. And I, like you, I'm drinking Corona from my wedding because we have boxes and boxes of beer in my home now.
So great.
Amazing.
Season 4, brought to you by gin. Brian's wedding.
Who's gin? My son's name is Hendrix.
Oh, really?
Yay. But it's Hendrix with
after the gin? Okay.
Well, no, but people ask me all the time because they're we know you like Hendrix gin. I'm like, I didn't name my son after an alcoholic beverage, but...
If you did, you would literally go immediately into the Hall of Fame of Broadwasted guests.
Well, in that case, no. But, you know, if he ever wants to change it to the ICKS someday, he can, you know.
Yeah. Sure. He'll tell people at a bar when he's 21.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that. Thank you so much for joining us again. So let's just get started. What's your favorite musical?
Of all time?
Yeah, and answer however you want.
I guess, I mean, I always have to say West Side Story first because it's what made me want to do musicals.
Sure.
It was the original film. I loved the remake too, but that just like hearing that music and like we would listen to the cast. Well, I guess it was the movie recording, but I would listen to it. It was Martin, not Natalie Wood singing. And I loved the jazz part of it. So I just was like, wow, Broadway's amazing. And then the dancing, it just sort of had everything. Mm-hmm. So that will always be my favorite musical. And then my second is sort of, it's another, like I was 16 and I saw Chita Rivera on tour with Kiss of the Spider Woman, and it changed my life.
Oh yeah,
because seeing it like it was just so those two just made me like
sure
be like wow, and they're two shows I'll never be in, and I love that about them.
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah,
they weren't anything I wanted to be in. I was just sort of.
You can really sit back and watch.
Yes, and just
you're not jealous of anyone. You're not like sitting there like
they both just like transported me to these other worlds that I I love those shows.
Good answers. did you grow up in the New York area, far away from it? Like do you remember your first Broadway show?
I grew up right outside of the city and I was a child actor. Film and mm-hmm. television.
Yeah. Right.
Film and television really is where I started. My grandma took me to see Me and My Girl on Broadway.
I was
7 years old.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a really fun show and all the accents. And then we wound up doing that show at my high school. So it was cool to like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was in Les Mis less than a year later after seeing
Me and My
Girl. Broadway show.
Oh, sorry. I was going to ask. So you were local, booked the Cosette role and then just kind of were like working locally. You didn't have to move or anything like that.
No, I was local. So
mm-hmm.
there were other people who joined the show who were from other parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
like New York to do it.
Yeah. Did I guess just transitioning into Les Mis, like at that young playing that role, looking back, did you comprehend like what was happening at all?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, looking back, I really didn't. It was just the adults around us were like, oh, you know, and that's what you're feeding off of. But when you, when you look into it, like, it was just like, oh, I'm doing a show and it's fun. And you don't, I knew that Broadway was a big deal, but I don't think I didn't comprehend what a big deal Les Mis was. Like, it was a phenomenon. You know what I mean? It was, like, I was in third grade and I would go to school and then I would have teachers be like, so do you get tickets? Are you able to get, and I'm like, what are they taught? Like, cause you couldn't get tickets for it. It was like Hamilton at the time, you know, it really was.
Yeah.
I did not really understand that part of it.
Sure.
What I did realize is that, you know, because the way Trevor Nunn and John Caird work, we had to go to school a lot during the rehearsal process. So we'd be off in the tutoring room, but when we weren't being tutored, we would just sit in the rehearsal space because the way Trevor Nunn works is it's such an ensemble piece to him. He liked everyone watching at all times. It wasn't like, you know, we're going to work with just Valjean and Javert right now. And like everyone would just be watching. Right. So it was a masterclass watching like Randy Graff and Anthony Crivello was Grand Taylor. And I could name Judy Kuhn, Francis Raphael, Colm Wilkinson, Terrence Mann, you know, the entire company.
Yeah.
Insane. So I feel like I learned so much just watching them work. So that was huge to me. I was like, oh my gosh, like I love to like act and I can sing. So I got this musical, but look at all these people and like how they, you know, work. And yeah, it was just, that was incredible for me. That I knew was a big deal. I didn't realize how popular I think the show was.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And because you didn't move, like you were still at home, nothing in your world really changed. I could imagine if you like moved to the city to do a show, you think it's a bigger deal. I don't know if I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that whole time period was just like, you know, it was like 1980s New York. I mean, I'm not going to bring stuff down, but like the AIDS crisis happened.
Sure.
I grew up very fast knowing like there were company members dying. So it was very serious. And then I would just like have to go to school and like, we're going to, you know, make a diorama today of like Bergen County, New Jersey. And I'm like, somebody just died in the show. Like, you know, so there was a lot of, I went into that show believing in Santa Claus and left that show raising money for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS and knowing like, you know, so I grew up very fast and not in a bad way, not like,
yeah,
I was doing drugs. No, it was just like, wow. Like, and so it was an interesting way to be an elementary school student for sure. And I did the show a long time. I did it 2.5 years, which is very long.
Oh,
for
wow.
A
oh,
I just, I was super small. And I didn't really grow fat. Like I had a 5-inch growth clause. So it took me 2.5 years. I mean, I took a leave to do a movie and then came back, but I was with the show 2.5 years. I might've left for a month or something.
Wow.
No. I didn't realize they
that's unheard of.
Growth clauses in. Like they literally tell you how tall you have to be.
Yeah. I used to get measured and all that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. But I was a very small 8-year-old. So.
Sure.
So it worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I guess talk about your journey through kind of like being this like child actor in a show and then like trying to find your place kind of in the Broadway or just theater world kind of growing up through it. Cause you know, as we know, and we'll talk about it a little bit when we talk about your 54 Below show in terms of Wicked and Elphaba, like how I talk a little bit about, cause I imagine there's a lot happening there, I guess, figuring out who you are, how you fit into a certain industry.
Yeah. When I left Les Mis, I did a movie right away. So I was sort of back in like the film and TV world again. And then, you know, you hit that like 12, 13, 14 age, which is sort of the dead zone for child actors because it was just also what was on Broadway. Like there were no other Broadway shows happening. Like Follies, I think, was the only thing that came out with kids, and Secret Garden. There were auditions for that. But, and Daisy was a friend of mine back then and she still is, Daisy Egan. But I was like, oh, I'm not going to get, like, I knew I wasn't going to get that part. It just wasn't the right thing for me. And so I kind of like, I didn't like take a break, but like the industry, there just wasn't a lot as a teenager in the industry anymore.
Yeah.
So I really leaned into my school and doing like the school shows and plays and all that. It was kind of amazing to do that. And then I was actually, There's a video of me. There's a bunch of videos of me on YouTube at 18 years old, senior in high school, or 17, playing Sally in Me and My Girl. One of my teachers came over to me and she's like, please don't go to college. Just try to go right to Broadway. And I said to her, oh, no, I have to go to college. Like, it is so hard as an adult. Like, I don't even want to try. Like, forget it. I really didn't think I could make it as an adult because I was kind of jaded by then, in a sense. Not jaded because, but just like, I knew how competitive it was for the adults, like, versus like the kid actors. And so, I mean, it was competitive for us too. There were hundreds of kids that auditioned for Les Mis, but I didn't have the confidence to go back into it as an adult. Looking back at those videos, I was like, oh, I could have, but I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I needed to sort of be normal even more, in the sense of like, just go to college at like, not study theater. So I went to school in New York City. I went to Barnard College, and I was like, I'll just be a lawyer, because like, I always was interested in that. And then, you know, did that trajectory and took my LSATs and went to go visit some law schools. And I would looked around, I was a junior in college, and I'm looking around at like all these kids at law school, or these law students. And I'm like, they love this. Like, they're like so into it. And I'm like, I don't love this the way they had a passion. I could see most of them in their eyes that like I had for the arts, but I had kind of pushed it away.
Yeah.
It's like, I need something secure. And by the way, law is not very secure either. There's a lot of lawyers who bartend.
Sure.
So I kind of had like this meltdown. I was like, I should have gone to like Carnegie Mellon, and I should have like tried to study this or whatever. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, maybe I'll try to go to grad school for theater. And I got a call my senior year of college from, I had a couple of auditions while I was in college. I was up for a film called, because the film world was always kind of good, for a movie called Camp. And I got very, very close for that film. And that was fun. And that was a casting agency, Telsey Casting, who at the time had just been put Rent on the map, and they were like huge. And and they still are. And so I got a call from my childhood manager, who was like, Telsey Casting reached out, and they were like, we're having like these huge calls. We're looking for offstage singers for Saturday Night Fever, but they might have to cover roles, or we're not sure. Like, and I showed up, and it was like a cattle call. Like, it was like, I went, and I was a senior in college, and it was September of my senior year. And I was like, all right, I'll just go sing a song and do this. And I booked that Broadway show. And I was like the youngest person in the cast, and second youngest. And I was going to the theater every night and singing backstage. And like, I was suddenly in a Broadway show again. And then I would go to college, and I was like, yeah, I kind of have to do this. I just then was like, okay, well, I'm going to start auditioning again. And then I got back into it as an adult. I think it was like the universe was like, no, you will work, and there is a place for you here. I mean, it was crazy. I couldn't believe I got it. It was just like, oh, okay. Sure.
Do you know where else there's a place for you?
Where?
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's corner.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner.
Kev.
Since this is my favorite part of the show, because I get to do whatever I want and ask whatever I want, say whatever I want, which makes it the best part of the show. So, since it's the premiere episode of season 3/4, or 3.2/4, we are going to be talking about first impressions and impressions, just because partially because it's the beginning of the season and I thought like the first impression of the season, but I also have been watching old RuPaul Drag Race seasons, especially when they do Snatch Game, which is them doing impressions. So my first question for you is, in life, not in theater, but in life, what is like the most important thing someone can do to make a good first impression on you?
Look me in the eye.
Great.
Yeah.
And I know some people have trouble with eye contact. I don't, but I don't mean that. I understand if someone might be shy, but if I'm like at a party and I'm, and someone is like, hi, nice to meet you. And then they're like looking around me because they want to see like,
right,
else is there. I can clock that. It's very different. Someone being shy and having trouble with eye contact, I have no issue with. But when it's that, it's like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a great one.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah.
What would be your advice for a young actor? Because we do have a lot of actors and aspiring actors who listen. What would be your advice to give a first great impression the moment you enter an audition room?
Oh, wow. I think it's be happy to be there, excited to be there, and open to work. Think of it like walk in like you're coming to the first day of rehearsal and you got the job. It's not an arrogance. It's sort of a, hi, like, you know, no. And I think to help with that, just know that everyone who's in that room is rooting for you. Like they need you to do well because they have to fill these roles. So everyone's on your side. So I think just go in with like a really open kind of, you know, mind and heart. It's kind of cheesy, but
I love that. And the last thing I'm going to ask you is a little birdie told me that you do a really great impression of either Sarah Jessica Parker or Celine Dion.
I mean, I do lots of people, but Sarah Jessica Parker has sort of become my, I mean, that's what in Martin Short, I played her and they put it in the show for me. When I auditioned for that, they just were like, do all the people you do. So I did a bunch of people. I was up for SNL once. I got close, but didn't get in. So they were like, do a bunch of people. And and so I did Sarah. And I remember Marty was like, I know her. And that's freaking me out. And nobody does her. So it's always sort of my thing. So now her voice has deepened, but this is like, think like early Carrie Bradshaw. I feel like I still have her a little younger, but thank you so, so much having me on Broadwasted. I am just so, so incredibly honored to be on Broadwasted. I am the most content person who is here. And just like that, you know.
That was so
good. Wow. That was...
I'm going to say a shout out. Thank you to my friend and yours, Betsy Werbel, for telling me to ask about one of those impressions.
Wow.
And
since 2008, I've been doing that. When I was on tour with her before I did Wicked in New York, I was like, we would do these, we would raise money for Broadway Cares and we'd do these like, you know, cabarets in different cities. And I was in Minneapolis and, you know, I was Elphaba and like, and my sister's like, would you please go up and do something? I'm like, I don't want to sing. I'm like, you know what? I'll just do like if celebrities were in Wicked. And I started just like, and I started doing that. There's been other people since who've ripped me off and tried to do that. But I will tell you, and it's fine, whatever, you know, I guess it's the highest form of flattery, but I've always done if Sarah Jessica Parker was Glinda. So if you come to the show that we'll talk about, you'll get to see that at least. So I always work her in, you know.
That's
so
amazing.
And nobody else tries to do her. I think everyone is left out for me. So I appreciate
that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was incredible. And this has been Kevin's Corner.
That's an excellent segue into talking about your show. So September 9th. So if you are listening to this the day that it airs or the week that it airs, this is airing September 6th. So I believe tonight, if you're listening to this the day it airs, you can go see Donna at Birdland, and then on Friday you can see her 54 Below show. Tell us a little bit about those.
If you go see me at Birdland, it's actually Susie Mosier's show, the lineup, and I'm just doing one song with my sisters. We're doing a trio. My show, I just did a show at Green Room 42 back in June, Confessions of a Broadway Baby. I talked a lot about being a child actor in that one. This one, I talk a little bit about that, but this is a baby I've had in my mind for a long time. The show is called La Mia Familia. about the Italian side of my family. Mm-hmm. I have two sisters. They're younger. And one of them was in, she's so talented, and she was in Frozen in LA when they were doing it at the Hyperion. And mm-hmm. my other sister is currently on the Wicked Tour as the Elphaba standby. So she's
That's
another.
Wild. And you're the first two to play, sisters to actually play Elphaba, is that correct?
Yeah, the first, and like, it could be the only, like, you just never, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
no, so like.
Wild.
It's pretty incredible. People like didn't put it together for a long time. Like every now and then, oh, I just saw Wicked. I saw somebody in Natalia Vivino. Any relation? I'm like, oh yeah, it's my sister. She has
That's the so
same,
cool.
They gave her my glasses, the same ones that I wore.
Wow.
She's leaving that tour on September 5th, and then she'll, I said, come to New York, please do this show with me and Antonia. So they're going to come up and do some songs. We're going to do some trios. They'll do some solo duets. I'm sure Natalia and I will do. I will just tell you now, we have a very special song that we're going to do together that was especially arranged for this show with Stephen Schwartz's blessing. So if you can see that and hear that, you got to come to the show because this is not live streamed. It's in person only. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I want to see.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I mean, they're amazing. If you go to my social media, you can check them out singing too a little bit. Yeah.
That's awesome. So yeah, get tickets. You can go to the 54 Below website, get tickets there. It's Friday, September 9th. Check it out. It's going to be amazing.
Yep. At 9:30, yep.
9:30 p.m. slot. So check that out for sure. I mean, and while we're talking about it, I mean, you've played Elphaba many times with different Glindas and going on. I guess, like, talk about the experience of, I believe you were on tour first, then you moved to Broadway. Is that correct? Like, talk about the transition of that. We've had a lot of people who have transitioned from that, but for that specific show, transitioning over, like, talk a little bit about the preparation, how it changed for you.
So doing it on tour is challenging in some ways because you're switching cities and you're traveling, and traveling is always going to make you feel more tired. You don't have your support system and mm-hmm. your team around you. And you could be in Denver singing at an altitude, and that's hard. Mm. And then you go to, you know, Portland, and somebody, and I loved singing in Portland. I like didn't miss a show. And I had people who were like, how I have the worst allergies. And I'm like, nope, I'm happy.
Interesting.
Here. And then I went to Phoenix and I couldn't sing the whole 2 weeks there. I was like, can't do the part. Like it just took my voice. Huh. So when you travel, it's tricky, you know, it's really
mm-hmm.
just so tricky. So there's that. But a little fact about the tour, there's no raked stage on tour. So you don't have to deal with the rake, which is,
yeah.
And you don't have to deal. There's more running around. Like when specifically No Good Deed, which is my favorite song to do in the entire show.
Really?
I have to tell you, I there's this, like, I guess there's a bootleg that's been going around for like many years now of me and Ali Mazzi and Kyle. It's like from a night on Broadway of the show. And, you know, my No Good Deed from that show became like a thing. Like people were like, and so I didn't want to watch it. I don't like to watch myself. And I watched it and I was like, oh, you know what it is? I just really loved doing that. So there was just this like energy that I have where it's like, I felt like, yes, this is the best part of the show. Cause I just love Act Two Elphaba so much.
Yeah,
but
anyway, sure.
In New York, you have to run around a lot before No Good Deed. So my very first time going on New York, I shit the bed on that song. I'm going to tell you right now, like people are now are like, you're the best No Good Deed. I'm like, first of all, let's not rank. There's no best. We all have our own way. But if they had heard my first No Good Deed in New York, I was so out of breath at the start of the show.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Run off stage, run all the way around, down the stairs, then up a stairs, and then you're going, Fiero, coming through a thing. So I was out of breath. I was like, again. I mean, it was really embarrassing. I was like growling to get through it. So I started running on the treadmill and singing it to get my stamina up.
Oh.
So, and then I was like, oh, this is cake. But I think that's why I loved. By the time I left Wicked, my tenure was over. I loved doing that song so much because I was so proud
mm-hmm.
of being able to conquer it.
Like, yeah, that's a cool way to train for that. That's like Amazing Race stuff.
That's so right cool.
There. I tell my student, like I teach sometimes and I'll tell some of my voice students and like acting students, even like just if you're going to be singing and dancing at the same time, even like jog or you got to do the moves when you're going to get out of breath.
Sure.
But that was something I did not realize because on the tour, you come off stage, you wait in the wings, And then you run back on. Like, cool. You don't run all over. Yeah.
Right.
Huh. That's so funny. You don't come up to the stage. You don't have as bells and whistles on tour.
Sure, sure. Thank That's you incredible. So much for joining us. We had a blast. We hope you did too. Have fun with the teaching. But before we end, anything, I know your show, but anything else you want to talk about before?
I have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. I am filming a film this month that I can talk about called Family Affair. It's a queer film that I'm really proud to be a part of. And I play the mother of, I won't tell much more, but it's a 14-year-old boy. And it's a really funny and heartwarming story. So I'll be doing that. I'm filming some other stuff. And I'm kind of getting back to my film roots, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And then I do have a show coming up, like a musical that I'm going to be in. So if you follow me, I can't announce it yet, but if you follow me on social media, it's I'm at Donna Vivino, DonnaVivino, across the board. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. I haven't posted there in a while, but I'm there.
Cool.
And so, yeah, so you can find me there.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
We're making announcements in a few weeks about the show coming up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, and as a reminder, check out the 54 Below show September 9th at 9:30. Go to 54below.com to get tickets to that. Again, it's live, it's not streaming, and you're definitely going to want to be there. Thank
and
you
Natalia
so
much. And Natalia and I are going to make history with a new arrangement of a Wicked song. So
that's going to be super cool.
Yay.
Yeah. But we end every episode with a quote, and today's quote is, I know a place where no one cries, crying at all, not allowed, not in my castle, on a cloud.
No. Of course.
Oh my God. So like when you go to the Tonys next and you present, will that be like the song they play when you're entering?
Oh,
like,
I mean, not that I don't love that song, but I hope like, you know, there'll be something else that I've done.
Yeah.
Something new, a new song that hasn't been written yet, right? A new musical. Let's hope.
And wouldn't that be sad if like later on in your career, the song that they play is about like a sad child's like broken dream?
Cosette does very well for herself.
Yeah, that is true.
She's fine.
And she becomes a Disney princess. So it all works.
But everyone like hates her though, because they're like, ugh, she's not Eponine. You know what I mean? Like,
it's right. So
funny. Like you feel bad for her and then you're like, ugh, I hate Cosette. I want Eponine to get him. You know? Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, but she survives the musical. Yeah.
She sure does.
She's there at the end. As not a ghost.
Right. There's like four people left at the end.
Yeah, there's like four people with a bunch of ghosts.
Yeah, she Cartier, beats the statistics.
Cartier's and then Marius and Cosette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The economy of who's left.
Yeah.
You can follow us wherever you are on social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Facebook group, at Broadwasted. It's just our name. You can check us out there. And then, of course, you can find us wherever you get podcasts. That includes things like Stitcher, Spotify, and, of course, Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
Again, thank you so much for joining us. But as we end every episode, we raise our glass and we say, Zudua.
Cheers.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an R-E-R-I-S-E-T-H-E-A-T-R-E www.theguardfather.org, because only together we rise.